Our gospel reading this morning comes to us from the 10th chapter of Mark, verses 46 through 52. Hear now God's word for us this morning. They came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Startle us, O God, with your truth, and open our minds and our hearts to your word, that in hearing we may believe, and in believing we might trust you with our very lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, it was the late author and religious scholar Phyllis Tickle, some of you may have heard of her, who some years ago popularized this idea that about every 500 years, the church goes and cleans house and undergoes this gigantic rummage sale where all of the old accumulated dogma and cluttered theology and worn-out beliefs go and get sorted through in order to decide what's worth keeping and what needs to be tossed out in order to make room for something new. The valuables and those things which are still useful are set aside for more everyday use. Those things that no longer fit, they're thrown away. And all of those little hidden and unexpected treasures which haven't seen the light of day in years, they get unearthed and celebrated before being dusted off and brought back downstairs for use again in new and repurposed ways. So looking back over the past 2,000 years, Tickle and many others point to the Jesus event and early Christianity's offshoot from Judaism as being the very first of these giant cataclysmic rummage sales. And then 500 years later, we get the fall of the Roman Empire and subsequent disintegration of the imperial church under Emperor Constantine. 500 years after that, we get the Great Schism, where the Eastern and the Western churches split. And finally, about 500 years after that, on October 31st, 1517, is that massive shift that we now celebrate today. When this German monk named Martin Luther felt that the church had moved far, far away from its mission to proclaim the unconditional grace and love of God for all people. And so he started an effort to pare things down, to scale things back a bit in an effort to break from Catholic doctrine, this movement that we now call, of course, the Reformation. And at the center of Luther's emerging theology was this idea that it is by God's grace alone that healing and wholeness and salvation come, and not through personal righteousness or piety or by trying really hard to be a good person. One of my favorite preachers once said, "God isn't interested in making you a better person. God is interested in making you a new person." Because if this whole thing was only a matter of self-improvement, then trying harder should do the trick, right? But trying harder and doing more was precisely what Luther was wary of. In fact, according to him, it was actually the exact opposite. It was being robbed of our old ideas about ourselves, being robbed of our self-sufficiency, robbed of our piety, robbed of our own selfishness and short-sightedness, that was far more likely to lead to transformation, Luther thought, opening up space for us to then receive and to respond to God's transformative, amazing grace. Which is where this history that we all celebrate today and the story of blind Bartimaeus collide. So stick with me. Our text for today drops us right into this central section of Mark's gospel, where for two whole chapters, Mark's sole focus is on Jesus' teaching about discipleship. And what's interesting is that this particular section about discipleship, it's bookended by two stories about Jesus healing people who are blind. Today, of course, we get the second of those stories, which centers around a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, who lives just outside the city of Jericho. Now, the gospel writers, you may remember, they almost never tell us the names of the people Jesus heals. Yes, there are some rare exceptions, like Lazarus, we know from the book of John, but on the whole, the writers almost always name the people that Jesus heals, either by their affliction or by their relationship to someone else. Like the man who was afflicted by demons in Luke, the woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years, and the leper whom Jesus cleansed. And then we have Jairus' daughter, whom Jesus raised from the dead, and Peter's mother-in-law, who was healed of her fever. But rarely are we given the proper names of these folks. And in Mark's gospel in particular, Jim said earlier, there is only one person whom Jesus heals, whose name we are told. And that is Bartimaeus. And not only is he given a name, but Mark actually gives us his name twice in the original languages. The first in Greek, Bartimaeus, and then in Aramaic, son of Timaeus. So we have to get the idea that this guy is worth paying attention to. Something here is different. But why? Why does Mark insist on drawing so much attention to this particular person in this particular story? Here's a man who has become blind. He has absolutely nothing. And now he sits on the side of the road begging for alms. He's a social outcast due to his disability. He lives outside of the city, miles from where any semblance of community would have been found. And not only that, but this is the city of Jericho, which, if you didn't know, sits at an elevation of almost 1,000 feet below sea level, making it the lowest permanently inhabited city on earth, still to this day. So in every way, Bartimaeus is the lowest of the low. He's been robbed of just about everything. And then along comes Jesus and his friends, walking up the road to Jerusalem, where Bartimaeus cries out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." So while the crowds are busy shouting for blind Bartimaeus to shut the heck up already, we see Jesus responding very differently, don't we? The text tells us that Jesus stops and he stands still, which hardly ever happens in Mark's gospel, where everything happens immediately. Something has clearly captured Jesus' attention. Shouting out, "Jesus, son of David," Mark is showing us that, ironically, out of all of the people in this story, the only one who truly understands what's going on and sees what's happening is this blind man, Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus gets that Jesus is more than a mere celebrity, a mere man of mystery and intrigue who's passing by, but gets that he is the Messiah. He is the one who has come to bring healing and restoration. This is the Word made flesh who's living among us full of truth and grace. He's the one who has the power to change and transform lives, lives like his. And he's come, and now he's right there in front of him. And Jesus recognizes this. He sees that Bartimaeus' faith-filled vision, not his sight, that that is what has led this man to shout out his name. And we all know something about vision, right? Vision is future-focused. It imagines what we could be, but aren't just yet. It involves looking beyond appearances and into the depths of how things actually are. Meaning vision isn't birthed from our eyesight, but from the longings of our hearts, from our hopes and our dreams. Vision, we might say, is about putting our faith in action. And for Bartimaeus, this looked like having faith that who he would become had not yet been revealed. Bartimaeus knew. He somehow trusted that there was more for him. There was more than illness, more than loneliness, more than alienation, and that his voice was hearable to the one who created it. Bartimaeus believed that his designation was not his destiny. He may have been blind, and the hard knocks of life had clearly been numerous. But he could somehow see beyond all that. He had vision that no one else had, and it was his vision that prompted Bartimaeus to leap up off the ground and call out to Jesus when everyone else was trying to silence and dismiss him. His faith, Bartimaeus' trust in a hoped-for future and a vision of a God who would stop everything in order to listen and to care and to tend to him was precisely what Martin Luther all those many years ago was also overcome by and enamored by, so much so that he staked his entire vocation and reputation and life on it. In one of his evening prayer journals, Luther writes this: O God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we will go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love is supporting us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Stepping out with courage onto paths we don't know, trusting that God is guiding us. This, friends, is what our faith is all about. And at least according to this story of Bartimaeus, it is also where spiritual healing and true freedom are found and take root. When Jesus says, go, your faith has made you well, what I hear Jesus saying to Bartimaeus, and really to each and every one of us, something like, I see you, my child. And you are free now, freed from your own limitations and short-sightedness, and freed for a life of purpose and faith and hope and exquisite, transformative, life-giving love. So go now and live. And this, friends, is where the healing happens. Yes, believe me, these healing stories of Jesus are extremely complicated. Because if read too quickly, we can so easily come away with really lousy theology, extremely hurtful theology. Things I know you all have heard. Things like, if you simply pray hard enough or do or say the right things, then you'll be healed, or hashtag blessed. Or something like, see, there it is right there. God helps those who help themselves. But as followers who take Reformed theology seriously, it's important that we remember that we don't believe in a gumball machine God, where if we simply put in a shiny quarter of prayer and righteousness into God's vending machine, then a shiny round gumball of blessing will fall out into our hand. No, it is not that somehow we think less of God's power or believe less in the power of prayer. It's not that at all. We believe in it fervently. We just don't believe it to be so simple and transactional like that. We believe in a real power of God that is mysterious and creative, not limited. Personally, I've come to love thinking about prayer as the act of sloughing off what we are not. This way of yielding space and time and attention from all of our millions of preoccupations to instead practice a kind of self-emptying. If only for a minute, a kind of self-emptying that mirrors the very simple, the very self-emptying of God. In prayer, friends, we lift up to God all that worries us and stresses us out and holds us back and scares us. And we share with God all that we are ecstatic about and hopeful for and grateful for and envision and desire for the future. There is nothing that is off limits because prayer is our springboard for honesty and full transparency in every area of life. It's where we go to get real with ourselves so that we can then go out and get real with the world and be real with those around us. It's through prayer that the eyes of our hearts are opened and our short-sightedness and fixed mindsets and ways of thinking are then able to melt away. I wonder how seeing has made me blind. The beloved Barbara Brown Taylor writes, by giving me cheap confidence that one quick glance at things can tell me where they are, by distracting me from learning how the light inside me works, by fooling me into thinking that I have a clear view of how things really are, of where the road leads, of who can see rightly and who cannot. Well, friends, this is the question that our text asks of us today. It's the same question that is being asked of the church and will be asked of the church over its next 500 years. How has seeing made us blind? What are we missing? What might be stirring or simmering or happening right now in front of us that we simply haven't cultivated the vision to be able to see? How might we learn from Bartimaeus and from all of the faithful visionaries who have gone before us, who dared to go through these giant cataclysmic rummage sales, even though they couldn't see where the road would lead? On this Reformation Sunday, may we hold these questions close so that in due time the eyes of our hearts might be opened and our blind spots erased. And may we go from this place today with renewed faith and a sense of being freed for new life, trusting that just as it was for Bartimaeus, that healing also happens for us when we dare to step out with courage onto a path we don't know, knowing full well that God will and does continue to guide us all along the way. Now, friends, as we go out from this place, may we go remembering and knowing deep in our hearts that we are seen, we are loved, we are tended to, we are healed, we are set free. And as we go, friends, may we go always with the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May we live by the Spirit.